Thank you. And we don't have time to knock down anything else before the public hearing. So maybe I would use this opportunity for our staff attorney to remind folks that are going to be testifying about the process. And I'll let you take it from there, John.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioners, Secretary Roebling, John Katimlik, staff attorney. We are going to be entering into the public hearing portion of our meeting. For those of you that have the agenda in front of you, that's items 13 through 18. So as a reminder to the public, this is where you can comment on finalizations and finalizations alone. So again, items 13 through 18, and maybe for clarification as well, there is a finalization regarding Antelope, but it is not related to the non-resident archery Antelope petition that's out there. Those individuals will have an opportunity during the next portion of the meeting, which is the open forum portion of our meeting. So as a reminder, if you're testifying, please keep your testimony to 3 minutes. Right now, I only have one individual who's actually signed up for the public hearing, and it's Mark Vaywig. Mark, are you out there to discuss item number 14, archery and muzzleloader seasons? Okay. Is there anyone in the room or online that wishes to discuss the finalization of item number 13 related to Antelope? Hearing none. Is there anyone in the room or online?
I'm online.
Can you please identify yourself?
I'm Cody Hodson. I did sign up through the online thing. I guess I don't know. I'd like to speak on the Antelope if possible.
Cody, are you talking about the Antelope non-resident issue, or are you talking about the Antelope, like the allocation of the licenses?
The allocation of the licenses, and specifically the modification to the mentor hunting availability.
All right. Could you again just say your name and where you're from again?
My name is Cody Hodson. I represent the Black Hills Sportsman's Club, and I'm a Rapid City resident. Black Hills Sportsmen want to testify on opposition to the reduction in the mentored youth antelope hunting on public land. The public fights, the Black Hills Sportsman's Club fights, the Game Fisher Parks fights, the commission fights, even our governor fights for opportunities for our mentored youth to get out and hunt and fish. And here we are talking about reducing the public land opportunities for these kids. Out of the interest of the parties involved, the antelope hunting opportunities, out of the parties involved in antelope hunting opportunities, this should be the last group that is affected by poor management of the wildlife. There's not a single mention of, other ways to reduce kill numbers. We're talking taking opportunities away from these kids versus finding other avenues to help the population grow. I guess we just like to go on record saying that we don't agree with that portion of the proposal. The rest of the proposal sounds great, but we'd like you to modify or reject that portion of the proposal. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Cody. Is there anyone else online or in the room that wishes to speak on the finalization of Antelope finalization? Excuse me, item number 13.
This is Nancy. I want to say something real quick. Nancy Hilding. Is that okay?
Ahead, Nancy.
All right. This is just a comment on your posting online. There's supposed to be a spreadsheet attached to the proposal about the antelope allocations. The commission book to find that spreadsheet, it is actually not attached to the proposal that you click on when you link to it on the current meeting page. So it's just my suggestion for clarity and transparency after this meeting that you take the attached spreadsheet out of the commission book and you put it on the website. That's it. Okay, I'm going to hang up.
Thank you, Nancy. Last call for Antelope, item number 13. Anyone else on the call or in the room that wishes to testify? Hearing none, moving on to item number 14, archery and muzzleloader seasons. Is there anyone on the phone or in the room that wishes to testify? Hearing none, moving on to item 15, hunting requirements and CWD regulations. Is there anyone on the phone or in the room that wishes to testify? Hearing none, item number 16, fall turkey. Is there anyone in the room or on the phone that wishes to give testimony as it relates to fall turkey? Hearing none, moving on to item number 17, mourning dove hunting. Is there anyone on the phone or in the room that wishes to give testimony? Hearing none, item number 18, spring turkey recruitment licenses. Is there anyone in the room or on the phone that wishes to give testimony? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, that would conclude the public hearing portion of the meeting.
Very well, nicely done, John. Maybe want to give a last call for the gentleman that didn't sign up and see if maybe he was able to work out any technical issues and see if he's come back to us.
Yes, sir. So, Mark Baywig, are you out there, Mark? You had signed up from Sioux Falls to talk about archery and muzzleloader seasons. Are you silent, sir? Okay.
Well, we tried. Why don't we go ahead and move on to the open forum portion of our meeting today and remind everyone again, Mr. Katelman again on the rules for the open forum.
Thanks again, Mr. Chair, Commissioners, John Katelman. Now is the open forum portion of our meeting. This is where individuals can discuss anything they feel is relevant with the commission. We have a number of people signed up, so please be mindful of the time. We are requesting 3 minutes per person. If the discussions start to repeat themselves, you can always just get up and say a me too as well to shorten that period. The first person I have signed up is Joel Morano.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me?
Yep. Yes.
All right. Joel Morano, lifelong bow hunter up in Aberdeen, South Dakota. I just wanted to hop on and show my support in favor of all three of the petitions that I'm not sure if Dana has outlined already. I just was able to get on right now. Not that I think that they're perfect or that they're going to solve all the problems. I want to be clear. I, like many sportsmen, bow hunters in South Dakota, we're not against non-residents. It's been very apparent over the last few years that there needs to be some reform when it comes to non-resident archery hunting, specifically antelope and deer. I follow a lot of the hunting personalities online, and it doesn't take very long to go on YouTube and view archery antelope hunts. And most of them are advertised up in the northwest part of the state. You see 500 views on them, with other states becoming much higher drawing for tags. South Dakota has become a kind of a hidden gem that's been found by non-residents because of not only the opportunity that our public lands have, but the costs and opportunity. And I did a quick analysis of the numbers, and you're talking, at least for deer specifically, between 30 and 40% of the total harvest per county. Commissioner Olson, specifically Lake County, 44% of the archery harvest. That's the total harvest for the county. Brown County, Commissioner Locken, is 40% as well. It's not just Northwest South Dakota and mule deer. I also echo the gentleman that spoke during the open forum about it's a bad idea to cut the tags for mentor hunters, but I was already going to speak, so I just wanted to say that here. I understand tough situations require tough decisions, and I y'all are in a bad spot. I get it, but I think that cutting those mentor tags goes against R3, which our state promotes. The other thing that I want to say too is, it's not just harvest. it's hunting pressure. And I actually have been antelope hunting archery for over 10 years. And I go with my non-resident brother-in-law from Colorado. I take the liberalization of archery to my benefit in that situation. But I'm originally from Huron, so I'm very familiar with pheasant hunting. The last few years, it's become very similar hunting pressure to what I would expect public land opening pheasant season to be in some of our highest populated pheasant areas. It is a problem. And when it comes to antelope, when you look at Butte County, Northwest Butte County, and Western Harding County, in 2020, harvest was 50%.
Mr. Morano?
Yes?
Mr. Morano, your time has expired. Could you please wrap it up?
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate the time.
The next individual I have is...
May I say one last thing that's important?
Sure.
I believe these are the first steps, but I do believe during the next deer management plan, residents need to take a hard look at some reform on our end as well. We do have a lot of opportunity, and if we're going to expect non-residents to compromise, I think that we're going to have to be ready to do it as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Dahlberg?
My name is Jim Dahlberg. I'm from Hot Springs, South Dakota. I started archery hunting in 1964 in South Dakota, and I've hunted every year since with archery equipment almost exclusively. I live in the southwest corner. I have the opportunity to see mule deer and antelope populations. I'm convinced that non-resident hunters are making a big impression on our herds in that area. When I go to those areas, particularly on public lands, which there, if you look at the map in southwestern South Dakota, there is a lot of public land. In the last few recent years, I have seen a huge influx of non-resident hunters, and I can tell by their, obviously by their license plates, that they're non-residents. I can see where they're hunting. I can see how they're hunting. I truly believe that we need to have some type of restrictions on non-resident archery hunters. I'm not against non-resident hunters because obviously I hunt in other states too, but I have to abide by what they put down for their restrictions, including the amount of money that I have to spend, apply for specific areas. All of those things that non-residents do not have to do in our state. I'd be open for any questions.
Thank you, sir.
You bet.
The next person I have is Marty Haynes from Faith, South Dakota.
Good afternoon. I am an outfitter and a hunter on the northern western side of the state, Perkins County. I've had an outfitting business for 12 years and been a hunter for 30 plus years. Basically, I'm not against the non-resident limitation, but I would want some reformation possibly in the sense of public ground versus private ground. I know there's several outfitters like me, and if there was to be an 8% allocation of the archery tags, it would virtually put me out of business. And not that that's anybody else's problem, but the revenue alone lost by the state would be upwards of, I run some figures on your guys' statistics, but almost $1.5 million. Well, sorry, $800,000 on just the deer tags alone. And then the antelope tags alone would be closer to $500,000 they would lose on just funding from that. And if the residents were to pick that up, it would increase their tag costs by, well, from $40 to $93 a tag for the residents. And just to pick it up that way in my quick figures, more than anything, basically what I'm trying to see here, obviously I know there's been issues with residents and non-residents for many years because we've been through this, as Dana said earlier today. I've been to meetings in the past and he's been to several. Something probably needs to be done because there is too much pressure on public ground, especially in like 35 units up in Harding County. I have several people that I know live up there and outfit up there, and I don't know particularly if they're on public ground or not. But, and I'm also not part of the South Dakota Landowner Outfitter Alliance as of yet, but I do think there's a way we could all sit down, hopefully, and come up with some kind of plan or ability to have some form of public allocated tags for non-residents to bring that down. More than anything, for me, I'm not a huge outfitter, but I take on 20 to 30 clientele a year. And in the past 5 years, I've had one South Dakota resident as a hunter. They typically just don't want to pay the amount to hunt, which we have great public hunting or have in the past, so why would they? There's that too. So in essence, to allocate the entire state, private and public property, down to the 8% allocation, it doesn't seem to make the most sense to me because there's not going to be a lot of hunters coming onto my private property to hunt because they're not going to want to pay the premium prices. And no offense to the way the state has manage their property. It's very difficult to manage an entire state and keep, obviously, private landowners and public hunters happy. That's a very difficult process. But through our grazing practices and my management practices and hunting practices, we have no better hunting than on most public ground, but we have far, far, far less pressure also. And I'm not trying to say the state needs less pressure on their public ground, but that's why there's a premium on the private ground. There's no way for a landowner to get compensation for the fence and the grass and the hay that's deteriorated or ate or devoured or however you want to say it, used by the public wildlife, other than through an outfitting type program or a trespassing fee or however you want to allocate it.
Could you please wrap up your testimony?
Yes. In other words, basically, I just was wanting to put in my 2 cents. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Haynes. The next individual I have signed up is Stuart Griffin.
Good afternoon. My name is Stuart Griffith. I'm a resident. I live in Somerset, South Dakota, which is between Rapid City and Sturgis. I lived in South Dakota almost my entire life, except for about 18 months from my parents forced me to move to Minnesota when I was too young to say no. So anyways, I have lived in South Dakota almost my whole life. I've held an archery license every year since I was eligible at the age of 12. I'd just like to echo what some of the other guys have said so far about just the incredible amount of pressure our South Dakota has experienced over the last few years. Especially since 2020, I've noticed just through personal observation through my job, the number of people coming in every weekend and then leaving on Sunday it's huge. And then in my personal observations, hunting, the amount of pressure I see with unlimited opportunity, you have unlimited pressure for those that want to take advantage of it. And our name as a state is out there. I mean, if you hunt elk, you would hear from people every year that, well, if you don't draw a tag, Montana, just go to Colorado, you can get an over-the-counter tag. You know, and a lot of people do that. But then you hear about the experiences that folks have where they say it's a pumpkin patch out there and things like that. And you see the same thing, or you're starting to see the same thing, South Dakota with archery deer and antelope, where our name's out there. It has been for years. I read it in hunting publications. One gentleman earlier mentioned online with YouTube, hunting forums, things like that. Our name's out there. And not only for the opportunity, but for the reduced cost. And again, like Mr. Dahlberg and others said, I'm not against people from other states hunting here. I certainly love to hunt here. I live here. I understand why people would want to come. I think that we have to do something to limit that, what that is. I think it's probably a discussion to be had for a different day. But I think that almost everyone can agree that with unlimited pressure, it's not good for your public resource or your public land. You know, I hunt I'm fortunate that I hunt private land a lot, and I have also hunted public land. And even just as I'm driving to go antelope hunting here a couple of years ago, every single field approach at 2 or 3 in the morning has got a pickup in it because people are waiting to hunt the next day. And that's public land. And I mean, you could do the same thing if you drove between Newell and Mudview on 212 the day before antelope season, and she's plumb full of people. There's a lot of public land out there. Yeah. At any rate, I guess what I mostly wanted to say is that I'm in full agreement that we need to take action. I don't think no one's going to decide the solution today, but I think, as I've said a couple of times, with unlimited opportunity, you also are getting unlimited pressure, and not just deer and antelope. We see the same thing in the springtime in the Black Hills National Forest with turkeys. There's unprecedented number of people coming here because it's unlimited. The turkey numbers down, I know we're not talking about turkeys, but I'll just use that as an example of where I've seen the effects of unlimited pressure over the years. They're through the floor from where they used to be, and there's probably other reasons for that.
But could you please wrap up your testimony?
Yes, sir. I guess what I'm saying is that we have to do something to reduce the amount of pressure on the public's wildlife, whether that's on public land or private land, or all together. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, sir. The next individual I have signed up is John Meyer. Or John Mayan, are you out there online?
Yep, sorry, I was just trying to unmute my PC. Good afternoon. My name is John Mayan. I live in Rosalt, South Dakota. I've lived in South Dakota for about 20 years. And I've hunted in South Dakota since the 1980s. So I've hunted as both a resident and a non-resident. I hunt antelope with a bow and with a rifle. I hunt deer with a bow, rifle, and muzzleloader. I've hunted some of the other states that people have mentioned for deer, archery deer. I've hunted Colorado, Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. I've also hunted in Iowa for deer with a muzzleloader. And I've hunted in Wyoming for antelope with a bow and a rifle. So I know how difficult it is to get a license in some of these states and what they require of you. I agree with some of the others that have spoke, but it's hard when it's an unlimited opportunity and the word is out in hunting magazines and TV shows, and people are coming here as their last choice when they don't draw their preferred tag. I just want to support the three petitions that SDBI has presented, and I guess that's it. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next individual I have is Mr. Doug Abraham.
All right, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
All right, thank you. Hey, Commissioner, I appreciate the opportunity to testify remotely. Doug Abraham, most of you are familiar with me. Represent South Dakota Landowner Outfitter Alliance. I'm an attorney from Pierre. Wanted to address primarily petition 7 and 8. And our entity's concern is, you know, one of the primary topics last year at the legislature was classification and taxation of ag property, specifically some of these in-between grassland properties that farmers are looking for ways and ranchers are looking for ways to diversify. And I want to highlight that, you know, petition 7 and 8, I mean, this is exactly the type of issue that's going to fan the flames and create additional hunter landowner conflict. And that's what it is. It's a broad based approach that does not actually address the issue that you're hearing from a lot of these bow hunters. A lot of what you're hearing is, there are issues on private, on public ground, and too much competition. You know, the vast majority of these grounds, especially in the northwest part of the state, are either walk-in areas or, federally held property. So it's accessible to public and should be accessible to public, to both residents and non-residents. But if you're going to address true competition issues here, you should address issues with and discrepancies between private and public opportunity, because what you're hearing is that there's issues on public ground, not on private ground. And this takes a broad-based approach and would eliminate massive opportunity on private ground and eliminate an additional revenue source that a lot of ranchers are tapping into as a way to combat rising property tax price, property tax assessments, and stay competitive in a difficult marketplace for commodities on a year-over-year basis. This year, it's a lot better in the commodity market, but last year, we know that wasn't the case. So this is a situation where it's only going to make that worse. It's going to make getting walk-in areas more difficult because it's deteriorating that relationship, because it's targeting non-residents, but also landowners who work with non-residents and the availability for those folks to come and hunt in South Dakota. You've heard a lot about opportunity in other states, but what you haven't heard from any individuals that have testified thus far is South Dakota is the only state that has an entire section of the state, contiguous section of the state, that is eastern South Dakota that's not open for non-resident rifle hunters. The only opportunity for a non-resident to harvest a deer in eastern South Dakota is to get one of these archery tags. We are the most restrictive state in the union, I'd argue, for non-resident rifle opportunity. And if we're going to look at what other states do there and come to some level of compromise on that, I think it needs to be done holistically. That's why the best way to approach this is through the allocation as a whole and not a piecemeal approach, as these petitions suggest. This really results in unbalanced results that will punish landowners, and it won't really create greater opportunity because you're still going to have limited public areas to hunt and massive pressure on those public areas. We'd suggest that the timing on this isn't appropriate. It'd be best to discuss through a work group or through the allocation discussions that will happen next year. And we just think this is further contributing to the deterioration between landowner and sportsman relationships. And we suggest the best course of action is to deny the petitions.
Thank you, sir. Next individual I signed up is Cody Hodson. Cody, are you still on?
Yep. Can you guys hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Sorry, I wasn't able to make it today. Just want to go on record that the Black Hills Sportsman's Club, we support all three of these petitions. We think they're important. We think it's time to get something done about the additional pressure that this offers to the resource. And I just think it's time for the commission to come to some sort of conclusion on this and move forward with getting something taken care of. That's all I really have. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next individual I have signed up is Ms. Nancy Hilden. You're on mute still, Ms. Hilden. Still on mute, Ms. Hilden.
Did it unmute now?
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Okay. I was trying. All right. Nancy Hilding, President, Prairie Hills Audubon Society. I identified five topics I wanted to talk to you about. I probably won't finish the first one. I would like to talk to you about the biennial review of threatened and endangered species. Pursuant to South Dakota Codified Law 48-8-4, you are required to do a biennial review of the state's listed GNE species every 2 years, starting July 3rd, 1979. And I don't think this has been happening. I would have to double check. Maybe, you did it in 2020, July started, finished in September. Maybe the last time was 2006. And Eileen is on the chat here. She can tell you when the last time before 2020 you did a biennial review pursuant to statute as you're required to do by law. In 2020, Eileen gave you a draft in July, and I think you adopted it in September, giving us all 60 days to look at it. I am requesting that It's late. We don't have it out there in July, so I'm requesting that you have this out there in September, which is your next opportunity to do so. You're required by statute to do this. Okay, so, and we care about threatened and endangered species, that you have all these species that you're looking at, how you hunt them every year biennially, and the whole endangered species things. Thank you to Eileen for doing the status review in 2018 and the biennial review in 2020, but I shouldn't have to nag you all to get this done. Okay, and I appreciate everything that you do and Eileen does. I'm not trying to deprecate people. Okay, so I also want to talk about after the status review and the biennial review in September, Eileen published, or that division published, guidelines to nominate species for state and threatened listing. And she gave us 60 days to comment on this with December 31st to submit a nomination, telling us that this was tied to the two-year biennial review cycle, which we do not see happening in July, but we're supposed to. And I would like, this is my comment. It was a very long thing. And, you know, I don't think that we should have to submit that petition 2 years in advance before the next cycle, especially when you are not obeying the cycle. And technically, this is a rule. And you adopted the change in the otter status in May or June before you had the biennial review. We can petition, as it's a rule under state law, where we can petition to change a rule anytime we want, and we give you enough time, and you've got to put it on the agenda 30 days later. I mean, you look at these petitions all the time. We can petition to list a T&E species at any point during the year. We do not have to wait to the biennial review, and you do not wait to the biennial review to uplist or downlist species. Okay, so, all right, so we have another question which is related to this.
In the fall
of 2020, Crejos Audubon is my time up? We petitioned to list the lake chub, and you said you needed to study it. Okay, John, who just told me to shut up, has sent me what you have done to study it. So I suggest it's time for you to come back and address the petition to list lake chub that you delayed because you need to study it, and you've studied it. Okay, that's it. I'll shut up. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hilden. Next individual I signed up is Justin Broughton.
Thank you, Commissioners. This is Justin Broughton from Sioux Falls, South Dakota. I'm president of South Dakota Bow Hunters. We've covered a lot of ground already through some of the previous testimony, but I just want to comment on a couple of things. We've seen a 53% increase in non-resident archery deer tags sold over the past 5 years, and some of the statistics I'm going to quote are from the department's own survey results that they've sent out and posted online, but that 53% increase that we've seen, that's in spite of all of the the actions that the commission has already taken to change the public land license purchase date, as well as the earlier season open date. We continue to see that increase grow year over year. Specifically, non-resident archers last season harvested 525 mule deer bucks. Those 525 mule deer bucks harvested represent 18% of the total West River rifle mule deer buck harvest. So you've got non-residents out there. We have a cap, rifle hunters do, at 8%. Archers are harvesting 18% of that total harvest just for West River rifle. It represents a significant harvest number compared to, we hear South Dakota residents are waiting many years, and I'm sure you guys have heard this, and I know the department hears it, for any deer type tags. West River rifle hunters can wait 2, 3, 4, 5 plus years for those tags. We've got non-resident archers out there that are getting those tags every year and chasing those bucks. So just something to keep in mind, and it's very specific to certain units that we have out west. Specifically, I'll draw your attention to Unit 35A up in Harding County. Non-resident archers harvested 107 mule deer bucks in that unit last year. Only 156 resident rifle hunters harvested a mule deer buck in that unit. So just something to consider there as well when we're talking about competition. Non-resident pronghorn licenses, the other petition that we have put out there. Those license sales have increased 68% in the last 5 years, 243% in the last 10. This is the type of competition that we're seeing out there for these tags. The 877 non-resident pronghorn tags sold last year, that represents 19% of the total rifle tags sold for pronghorn in 2021, and 617% of the total non-resident rifle antelope permits. So you can see the numbers are way out of whack here compared to what we're looking at for non-resident versus resident competition on the rifle side. We're just looking to draw more fairness to this. I'd also remind the commissioners that we brought three petitions forward last year, which were very similar to these three petitions. And in those petitions, we specifically addressed some of the concerns that Mr. Abraham had brought forward in his testimony relative to creating a private land unit for archery and non-resident archery pronghorn and deer tags that would have allowed landowners and outfitters to still host hunters on their ground and achieve revenue from that with that private land unit. So there is a solution out there for that while still placing a cap and draw on non-resident deer and pronghorn licenses. Just another comment, I apply in probably 7 or 8 states as a non-resident every year. I fully understand that it's very difficult to get tags in those states. I have preference points in just about every state that has a preference point system. And, you know, it's not easy to get a Western tag. South Dakota makes it extremely, extremely easy for non-residents to get a tag. You know, the time to act is now. We continue to see increased pressure. The growth rates are accelerating. The YouTube hunting celebrities, podcasts, social media influencers are all touting South Dakota as the place to go. The time to act on this is now. Let's protect the resource and the experience for residents and non-residents alike. Thank you.
Thank you. The next individual I've signed up is Jason Stone.
Good afternoon, Commissioner and Rest Commission, and thank you again for your time. Yes, Jason Stone here from Chamberlain. I just wanted to take a minute to testify in support of the three petitions that were submitted by the South Dakota Bow Hunters, or at least at a minimum, you know, the further dialogue and discussion on the issues that have been discussed with this. As others have said, I also do a fair amount of out-of-state travel for hunting and fishing and other outdoor events, and South Dakota has been and continues to be labeled a very liberal state for non-resident bow hunting opportunities. We've become the, like we've said, if all else fails, just go to South Dakota and bow hunt deer antelope state. And, you know, I would ask, is that really who we are or who we want to be referred to as? You know, many nationally known and large outdoor groups have and continue to utilize this label for us. You know, I understand the want, desire to allow and really encourage non-residents to come to our state to recreate. Being from a small town, I do see the direct impacts that outdoor recreation can have on a community financially, and it certainly is impactful. However, they don't even bat an eye anymore at the cost of gas, hotels, food, et cetera, and continue to talk about how cheap it is to hunt and fish here. So I find it hard to believe that demand would decrease in an impactful amount, at least with the increase in the tag price that's proposed, you know, which is really only putting us in line with every other Midwestern Western state, as you can see from what SDBI has shown. Now, again, it's a hard stat to project, but if you do utilize all of our neighboring states, you know, who have increased their big game buck tag prices, for an example, they've only continued to see the demand go up as well, you know, as evidenced certainly by point creep all over the Midwest and Western states. You know, our governor also points out South Dakota is open. We've got jobs available and loads of them. You know, if South Dakotans, we welcome them coming in and becoming a productive citizen of our local economy here. If they want to hunt in South Dakota at a resident opportunity and cost, our door's wide open. Come on over. Again, thank you guys for your time. There's no question and doubt that there is an issue that exists and needs to be addressed, and I look forward to the further discussion of those issues.
Thank you. The next individual I've signed up is Julie Anderson.
Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good afternoon. My name is Julie Anderson, and I live in Rapid City. I would like to speak out against the Nest Predator Bounty Program, which just concluded its fourth season on July 1st, 2022. This program was the governor's pet project to promote trapping and to boost the pheasant and duck populations so that more birds could be killed by hunters. According to a September 7th, 2021, Rapid City Journal article, Game Fish and Parks Secretary Kevin Roebling acknowledges no data or concrete evidence exists to show the bounty program has improved pheasant or duck numbers or enhanced nesting rates. He was also quoted as saying, as far as quantifying abundance, we don't have any research design set up for that. With no research in place and with studies showing that good habitat is the proven method to boost bird populations, the true aim of the program is purely recruitment of trappers for the South Dakota Trappers Association. Soon after the results did not reflect the program's goal, its mission statement was amended to get families out to enjoy the great outdoors. This program has trapped, bludgeoned, shot, or strangled a grand total of 184,332 animals, to include 142,000 raccoons, 22,400 striped skunks, 1,578 red fox, 1,554 badgers, and 16,700 possums, all killed for enjoyment. After dismembering their tails and pelts, many carcasses were left out to rot, despite a lukewarm suggestion at best from Game Fish and Parks to bury the remains of the animal. Also among the tails accepted were those from juveniles, and as a characteristic of possum offspring, young that were still clinging to their now dead mother were eligible. Not only were kids paid $10 per animal to do this, but there was a photo contest conducted the first year that featured these youths with their dead animals, and a prize was given for the best photo. When asked to provide the pictures of this first year event, which was discontinued, Game Fish and Parks claimed they never conducted such a contest, again revealing that the graphic reality of this program was not something they wanted publicized. With the horrific mass shootings this country has experienced and continues to experience on a daily basis, we have learned that a trait of most of the perpetrators have in common is animal cruelty tendencies. This is something that should not be lightly dismissed when you're promoting the idea to kids to get off their video games and experience killing a living animal firsthand, then pay them to do it. Also, this program has disrupted the balance of nature. A common complaint of coyotes is that they kill livestock, yet you are killing its natural prey. You are killing badgers, but people complain of too many of the badgers' prey, namely prairie dogs. People get sick from ticks, but you are killing one of the best eradicators of this insect, the possum. This program is neither ethical or needed. It's time to stop this killing. Please end this program for good. Thank you.
Thank you. The next individual I've signed up is Mr. Zach Hunke.
Hey, my name is Zach Hunke. I'm from Watertown, South Dakota, and I am representing the South Dakota Wildlife Federation. Thank you, Chairman Olson and commissioners, for your time. The South Dakota Wildlife Federation supports the three petitions that the South Dakota bow hunters have in front of you. We support the spirit and the intent of the petitions and believe it's time that these issues are addressed. However, we would specifically support an 8% limit on the non-resident archery tags. Those are the current percentages, as you heard earlier today. And the 8% rule was based off a scientific basis of license allocation in an effort to not likely cause a significant increase or negative impact to the herd. We support looking into different ways to ensure that South Dakota is competitive in the pricing of all licenses and tags. We rely and consider it is part of the commission's job to determine the right combination of price and prices and of tags. We do support the petition stance on requiring a small game stamp to apply for a big game tag. The concept would or could positively impact Pittman-Roberts funds and help increase the department's efforts on habitat and access. Another comment that I would make is to not follow some of the other things that have already been said today. But I had 8 years of West River any deer preference this year and did not get my tag. I would try to avoid a conversation of public land hunters versus private land owners due to the fact that we're really considering the herd here. You've seen some numbers in regards to the mule deer's number of mule deer bucks harvested. And so we would like to focus more on herd management rather than get into the weeds in regards to private landowners and public land hunters. So with that, I'd be available for any questions, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you. The next individual I have is Trevor Davis.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, Trevor, we can.
Just wanted to start, Trevor Davis, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, addressing the petition set forth by STBI. Want to take the opportunity to thank you all for affording me this time to testify, and I appreciate all that you guys do. I know that it's not always a popular job and certainly not an easy one, and it comes at a great expense to your free time and professional time as well on the commissioner's part to fulfill their roles. So thank you for that. Going forward, not to be too redundant, I want to echo everything that was set forth in the petitions. Definitely support all three of those. And most of these guys have done a great job of hitting the nail on the head in terms of what these issues are. Going into the archery antelope, I can't tell you how overwhelming it is to go out there and see 80, 85% of all the vehicles you see from out of state, and they're just out there in droves. And like someone else said before, every field approach you go to, even at 2, 3 o'clock in the morning, you think you're being a go-getter by getting out there early and tough. They were there the night before sitting in the field approach, you know? And I think that what people haven't said too is I think that overwhelming archery pressure bleeds its way into rifle season as well. Just this last season, had tags up in Harding again for rifle, and I've never seen the numbers so low on public up there. It was ridiculous. And I think that overwhelming archery pressure is pushing a lot of these off public onto private. And I can understand how that would have negative impacts for some of the private landowners that don't particularly appreciate antelope presence on their land to begin with. As we all know, wildlife can be expensive squatters, and that's having an impact on their hay harvest and so on and so forth. And then to echo what people said as far as the mentor tags and the non-resident pressure, I mean, I just don't want South Dakota to be the last place in the country where you can get unlimited over-the-counter archery tags for antelope, and which we are now. We are the last one in the country. And I think it would be a crime against our resident youth to come after their mentor tags before we address the non-residents coming in hordes. And there again, I have nothing against non-residents. I have absolutely nothing against landowners. I don't want to see these outfitters and these landowners up there, their bottom line and their ability to pay their taxes be impacted. But at the same time, we need to protect this resource while we can. State reports are saying that we're seeing anywhere from a 40 to 60% decrease across the state in herd numbers for antelope. And someone said before that this isn't the time to address this, but if not now, then when? I mean, we're already knocking on the door of being too late for this to be able to rebound. We're never going to see the numbers we had back in 2010, 2011 again. A lot of that's due to weather and disease and so on and so forth, and that's out of our control. But we have some skin in the game where we can control things and do better going forward. And like I said, I've got nothing against non-residents. I meet wonderful people from out of state every year. I hunt other states myself. And don't want to lose that opportunity either. But I think that we need to get more in line with the way things are going in most of our neighboring states, aside from the People's Republic of Minnesota, of course. But at any rate,
please wrap up.
I appreciate your time and appreciate all that you do. And thank you so much for the opportunity to testify. Have a great day, and I hope that you all make it home safe.
Thank you. The next individual I have signed up is Brandon Lambert.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Perfect. Say, Trevor pretty much hit everything on the head that I kind of want to reflect on. One thing that I could touch on is resident experience quality. So last year was my first year antelope hunting archery, and I just happened to be in Harding County the day before opening season. And to touch on experience for a new hunter thinking, you know, as a resident, you got a tag, you're going to be able to go out. I found almost no field approaches that, you know, weren't swarmed with out-of-state hunters already on property. It did make it very difficult to have a quality experience, especially your first time out. And just the pure numbers of out-of-state to resident license plates in these field approaches was astronomical. I was blown away and did not expect that, to be honest. And I think Trevor's right as far as numbers go and time to act. There's not a better time. We're already behind the eight ball, I feel, as far as the research I've done and what I've heard. So let's do the right thing, at least try and stay on top of this. And if that means increasing tag prices across the board, that's what we got to do. Somebody else touched on that earlier, that some of these guys coming from Illinois, Kansas, Wisconsin, they're not going to bat an eye at a $500 tag. And I don't believe they would either. So if that's something we got to look at, obviously that's your job, not mine. I'm just here to reflect on the experience I had with archery antelope hunting for the first time last year. I appreciate you guys' time, and good luck going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. The next individual I have is DJ Locken.
Can everybody hear me here?
Yes.
Well, it looks like I'm going to be potentially the lone non-resident commenter here. I'm from Kirksville, Missouri, but I've been hunting the great state of South Dakota since I went to college there and started in 2012. And since that time, hunting it as a non-resident for the last 5 years, I have seen an increase in people. But to go from 5,800 tags this last year, and in all reality, this last year was the first real instance of crowding that I had ran into. I don't hunt Harding County. I don't go where everybody else goes. There's a reason for that. I do my homework. I find other places where I'm not going to have a lot of pressure. And with that being said, the quality of my hunts every single year are phenomenal. And for everybody saying South Dakota is a last choice option, no, South Dakota is my first choice. You've got to decide on South Dakota by April 1st if you're going to hunt it or not. So that makes a huge difference. So as far as crowding and, you know, the amount of non-resident tags, I don't disagree that there shouldn't be a cap, but capping it at 2,000 would, I think, is drastically too low. You're just from the numbers in the petition being used in 2012, there was 3,100 non-resident archery deer license holders. So why are we going to, you know, a third of that number? I think a lot higher number would be much more acceptable. Unless the 525 mule deer bucks that were harvested it was a biological issue. Being a biologist here in Missouri, you know, resource has to come first. So if 525 mule deer bucks is too many, then I think there's a better reason for a cap and even a lower cap. But if 525 is not, you know, not harming the population at a herd level, at a county level, maybe that's something we don't have to look at, because resource is the most important thing here. I'd also like to comment on public versus private. You know, having the private land tag already available for September 1st opener. I mean, I think that gives enough benefit already to the private land holders. If you're going to manage public wildlife on public and private land, it should be across the board. You can't manage public wildlife with, you know, private entities as a, you know, key factor. And then the only other thing I want to touch on is, you know, pressure is relative. Growing up in Wisconsin, if there wasn't 10 people on the public 40 acres, you know, it wasn't very crowded that day. So when I can go out there to a chunk of BLM ground that's 2,000 acres and have one other person that I can see on it, that's not pressure. Now, granted, I don't hunt in Hardin County. I have heard the horror stories of it, but I can't speculate on that as well. And as far as price tag goes on these licenses, $286 plus a $25 habitat stamp, you know, north of $300. I agree that it, you know, it is quote unquote cheap, you know, but that's still an investment you have to make along with time off and travel expenses to get up there to South Dakota.
Testimony. So,
yep, and that concludes what I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you. That's all I have for people who've signed up already. Is there anyone in the room who wishes to give testimony in the open forum who has not already testified? Seeing none, is there anyone online who has not given testimony in the open forum that wishes to do so? Hearing none, Mr. Chair, that would close the open forum portion of our meeting.
Thanks so much, John.